ready? Here we go.
The Hit Breakfast Show.
All right.
Thanks to McDonald's. Grab a McCafe iced coffee made with the new McCafe blend.
I'm going to drop my coffee.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the Cliffo and Gabby podcast. Yes, we did.
Was that
the,
on tape?
Yeah, the coffee thing's on tape. And Matt, our head technician, if you are listening, yes, Gabby did nearly drop her coffee.
I didn't, Matt. You have no proof.
Equipment. I worked with a guy once who spilt chocolate milk over like the radio desk, you know, the panel thing that sits in front of radio people.
That's so bad.
And apparently what happened was like the chocolate milk, it went into all the, you know, the crooks and crannies and all that on
buttons,
the desk.
Yeah.
And then it just went, the guy heard this sound that went,
no,
like a spaceship powering down.
That's not the best story you have, though. You told me once a gecko took the radio off air.
This is true. Yeah. So this happened, you know, we go all over Queensland, but this happened at Hit 103.1 and 4TO, I think it was, in Townsville in North Queensland, where what happened was there was a gecko that actually got into and ate all the wiring. This was at like the broadcast tower or whatever. And same thing. Brought the radio stations off air for 13 hours.
A little gecko. Who would have thought they could be so dangerous?
Hundreds of thousands in damaging, lost earnings from a gecko. Little bastard. On this show before, we have broached the subject of sex education and how it was a little bit average back when we went to school, and not only at school, but also our parents. Like, I think that generation probably not the best at talking about that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And I fear that I may be replicating that with my 2-year-old son, Charlie, who believes that nipples make a sound.
What?
So, yeah. So nipples don't make a
sound. What kind of sound?
Beep, 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 beep.
Yeah. My nipples definitely don't make that
right.
sound.
Then it's like a fax machine. So this all came about because, you know, we moved into the new house with the pool and we're swimming in it all the time.
Mm.
And Charlie's only 2. We've only enrolled him recently in swimming lessons, but he's a bit of a koala bear when we're in the pool.
Just latches on.
It has to sort of latch onto your side or whatever, which means he's kind of face to face with my nipples. And I've got man boobs. They do protrude out a little bit. And it's become a bit of a thing where he will lightly, very lightly pinch my nipples. And I go, beep, 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 beep. So while he's
clamped on,
I just have to keep making the sound.
Beep, until beep, he lets
beep,
go.
Beep, 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 beep. But then I sort of do it back to him. So because he's only 2, and there's hardly anything there, I just kind of poke where the nipples are supposed to be. And then I go, beep, 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 to him. And it's so much fun. Like, it's such a fun game.
Well, they we can do this hours like on buttons.
End. I guess they like, do. It's the same with a belly button.
Yeah.
And your kids poke that or whatever. But at the moment, it's nipples at our house. It's a light little pinch and beep, 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 beep is what happens. And it has got my wife and I talking because, and I hope this day never comes because I want him to be my beautiful little innocent child forever and ever and ever. But, you know, it's inevitable that you grow up. That's going to happen. And one day, Charlie is going to see a naked woman and he's going to be very, very disappointed when her boobs don't go beep, 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 beep.
Bluey is about to premiere their next season, which actually has a lot more Queensland references in there. If you want to have a little look-see, their little Easter egg specials, I've been checking them out. They're very cool. But to celebrate, we actually have Dave McCormack, the voice of Bandit from Bluey, on with us right now. How you going, Dave?
Hey, Gabby. Hey, Cliffo. How you going?
We are fantastic. We are looking forward. Well, particularly in my house. I have a 7-year-old and I have a 2-year-old. So Bluey is a favourite at my place.
Series 3
is about to launch.
That's insane. How are there so many episodes?
Right? How many episodes are there roughly a season?
Look, I don't know. We can only guess. It's like our best guesstimate could be about 100, no, can't be 100 each season. Like, I don't know.
There's a lot.
You've now exposed how little I know about the actual mechanics of the show. But there's a lot and they're all good.
Hey, going back, so I remember you as Dave McCormack, the musician in the band Custard. And of course, now I know you as just the voice of Bluey's dad, you know, Bandit. How did that actually start for you? Like, were you doing acting and all that stuff as well? Like, how did you get cast?
Cliffo, I've never acted in anything in my life. So all I've ever done is, you know, music stuff and gigs and that sort of stuff. And then I you know, people who I knew these people who were doing a show about a family of dogs, and
wow.
Could I do a voice? And I said, I can't do a voice. You got to get someone, a proper actor, a professional to do it. And, you know, this is my voice, and I do it, and they like it. And now I'm Bandit Healer. But you know what? My problem is I don't have what they call in the business much of a range. I can only do this voice. And if you need me to do anything else, you've got to get one of those proper actor people to do it.
Is it
so
weird?
My voice is good because I can get really angry really quick.
Yeah. Well, your voice is just Bandit's voice. Like, exactly. I feel like we're just talking to Bandit.
Is it weird to you, Dave, that there's a lot of mums and women out there that find Bandit sexy? They think Bandit is a good dad, and there's like a bit of a mum fan club around him?
You know what, Gabby? It doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, have a look at the guy.
I know.
He's incredibly
sexy
good.
As. Yeah.
He's amazing. He is one hot doggy, if you don't mind.
Yeah. Who's hotter, Bandit or the man who voices him?
Oh, definitely me. Like, voice-wise. You know,
I didn't even think you believe that.
If they ever do Cleo's, you know, hottest voice of the year, I am up there.
Nice.
Do you ever get recognised? Like, obviously, if people sort of see you, if they don't know you're Dave McCormack, you don't look like a big blue dog. But do people ever hear your voice and go, oh, my God, man, you're Bandit?
They do sometimes. Sometimes it's happened a couple of times in the shops where a family has come from the aisle across from where I am, and they're like, you sound just like that dog. And I'm like, what dog? What are you talking about? Bluey? I've never heard of Bluey. Ah, biscuits.
They think
they've just found the most coincidental thing in the world. There's a guy who sounds exactly like Bandit Healer, and he doesn't even know who Bandit Healer is.
If it ever goes south or whatever, you could make some good money, mate, doing like cameo videos or doing voicemail messages for people.
Yeah, maybe. That might be a bit weird, but look, I'm happy. It's all going pretty well, and I like the new episodes.
And we can't wait to see them.
It's such an Aussie humour in Bluey, though, Dave. There was actually a scene they cut out when they aired it in the States. There was a horse pooing, and they decided to cut that when airing it because it's a bit gross. Do you reckon there's anything in this current season that's coming out that's going to have to be cut for the American audience?
You know what? There's one episode, and it's not gross, but there's one episode that goes really deep on cricket. You know, the game.
Oh,
yeah, good.
And it goes super deep, like a documentary. And I'm not sure how much the rest of the world, the non-cricket playing rest of the world, is going to be into that episode. So that's one to look out for.
Yeah, they'll be like, it's like baseball with a flat bat. We have to run, but Dave McCormack, a.k.a. Bandit, you can see him on the third season or hear him on the third season of Australia's number one children's program, Bluey. It's on ABC Kids and ABC iView. Dave, big love. Thank you so much.
Oh, thanks, Cliffo. Thanks, Gabby. See you later.
Cliffo and Gabby's Set Up Saturday.
This Saturday from 3 p.m. we're
Please
setting
join
up
us.
Our Christmas trees together.
Yeah, we'd love you to be setting yours up while we set ours up. As a family, Christmas songs, everything else, celebrities phoning in to say Merry Christmas, all the good stuff. But let's take a bit of a dive down memory lane.
Let's step back to a simpler, more humble and broke time.
When setting up a Christmas tree wasn't necessarily happening. Because in your house, Cliffo, you didn't set up a Christmas tree as such.
No. So this was about 10 years ago. My wife and I were newly together and we were saving up for our big overseas adventure. Mm. Remember those days? You could go overseas?
Yeah, that's not a thing now.
That's not a thing anymore, but it used to be a thing. And we had no money because we were saving just hardcore. And we had gifts, we had to put them under something. So we bought one of those little $2 pine tree air fresheners and we sticky taped it to the wall. We've still got the photo. And this was 10 years ago. Oh. So back then, Instagram filters were new and you just went over the top with every filter, which you can see on this photo.
You can.
At our, like, the so filter obvious. Game is very obvious. It's up now at our Insta, at Cliffo and Gabby, if you want to see that. But the question is, who's used a makeshift Christmas tree?
Yes.
You didn't have one, but you still needed to,
maybe,
you know,
times were tough.
Decorate something.
Maybe space was
limited,
a limited commodity.
Traveling.
Travelling, yeah, there's so many reasons why you would.
131060, 131060, Paul's here. Paul, what's your makeshift Christmas tree, mate?
Mate, it was a potbelly stove. You know what that is?
Yeah, like, it's one of the stoves where you light a little fire in the bottom of it, is that right?
That's the one, you like a round little heater and had a flat top so you can put your pans and that on and cook on it.
That's right. Okay. Like an olden day stove, yeah.
Exactly right. So when I was growing up, while the house was getting built, we were living in a caravan and our lounge room was next door in the car garage. In the middle of the garage was the potbelly stove where we used to gather during winter, obviously, to keep warm, watch the telly. And then in summer, obviously, there's no use for the heater, so that used to become our Christmas tree.
I see.
And we'd wrap the tinsel and all that up the flue.
I see. Merry Christmas, kids. Come and gather around the stove. It's time to unwrap your presents.
It's inventive.
Mate, it's good. Victor's here. Morning, Victor.
Hey, mate. How you going?
Good, mate. What's happening? What's your makeshift Christmas tree?
Oh, we just went down to the Gold Coast one Christmas. We do it every now and then. But this time we just forgot the tree. So we just went to the news agency and bought like a $3 sticky tape with Santa Claus and the Christmas tree and elves and whatever on it.
Yeah.
So we just did the shape of a tree on the wall and put a little star and put it up top. So, yeah.
Please tell me when you took the sticky tape off, it didn't take the paint with it.
All the wall came down with it.
Lost your mind. No, I didn't.
The next people in the room is like, there's an outline of a,
of a
Christmas tree ripped into the paint.
Weird.
Thanks, Victor. 131060 is the phone number. Sally's here. Sally, what was your makeshift Christmas tree?
1 year we had just a wooden cap. Statue, so we just chuck some baubles on that.
That is not a Christmas tree alternative, a cat statue.
It's a Christmas cat, Gabby.
There was only two of us home. It wasn't worth the whole setup and pack down.
Yeah. So you just put some baubles
on
its ears.
The presents?
Underneath the cat.
Of course. What do you think? They balance it on its tail.
Sorry, my bad.
Sally, I love it. The Christmas cat. Jennifer's here. Jennifer, what was your makeshift Christmas tree?
It was my bestie over in the States, and she had a tumbleweed.
Oh, like the thing that blows in a Western movie.
She just carefully wrapped lights around the, I don't know what you call them, but around the outside edges and had a couple of ornaments on it, and that was it.
That isn't really, that's an unexpected one. I did not expect that, but it would kind of be cool because it'd just be like a Christmas ball.
It would.
Yeah, it looked really good.
It'd be like a bauble kind of thing.
An oversized bauble.
Like an oversized bauble looks like it belongs in a Clint Eastwood film.
My little Chihuahua bear, who is about 5 years old, he had to go to the vet the other day because leading into Christmas season, need to make sure he's up to date with all his vaccinations, especially things like kennel cough, because he's going into the kennel. So you don't want him to get the cold.
Bear is not anti-vax. That is good to know. He's happy to roll up his sleeve and do his bit for the doggy community.
He told me he was happy to get the jab.
This is good.
So we went along to the vet on Friday it was. And he also had to get a bit of a checkup because you may remember little bear was in a cone for a moment because he had a bit of an eye infection or a scratch on his eye was irritating him.
You weren't very sympathetic at the time, so we made you wear a cone.
Correct.
For 24 hours.
Correct.
To see what it was like.
And
yes, everyone, they do come in human size. We were shocked as well.
Anyway, so the vet wanted to check up on his eye to make sure it had fully healed and everything was all good. And she noticed that there was a bit of a growth on just a tiny bit of his eyelid, like tiny, tiny, tiny growth. Now, my vet is absolutely beautiful. She is Brazilian. And so occasionally there's a tiny bit of a language barrier, but nothing major. And she's so lovely with Bear and he loves her and we all love each other and it's wonderful. Yeah. However, that did come into play on Friday.
The language thing.
We were talking about the little growth on his eyelid. And she was saying if that does irritate him in future, if it grows, if anything like that, it'll have to be removed. And I was like, oh, that's fair. Like, you know, if you had something on your eyelid, that would be so annoying.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem to faze him yet.
Okay.
So that's all good. But we were talking about it and she's like, yeah, so if it does start to get really irritated, we will have to put him down. And then she saw the absolute horror on my face and she was like, just for a minute, like we just put him to sleep. And I was like, oh my God,
don't say that.
Put him to sleep, not put him down.
I don't know what it means in Brazil, but in Australia, it means something very different. this is it. It is time for a free Alpha Bucks answer for tomorrow, Wednesday morning's game.
Jug is your answer. Not jugs.
Jug. Not jugs. Jugs.
Just one.
Aha.
Like a jug of milk.
Little booby reference there.
Or a jug of orange juice. Jug. Just one jug.
J-U-G. Jug is your free Alpha Bucks answer for Wednesday morning's game on Hit. Ask me a question.
This is Guidance Gabby. Jess, hit us up at Instagram at Cliffo and Gabby. You can do the same if you want guidance. But the question we want help with today is, dear Guidance Gabby, my wedding is coming up on Valentine's Day and I'm feeling secure it will go ahead after having to postpone it twice. I've invited 120 people and have to go through the guest list and check that everyone is vaccinated due to the new restrictions. The majority of my guests are double jabbed, with the exception of my sister, who's also my maid of honour. I can't imagine not having my sister there on my big day, but if she does come, I have to uninvite 100 guests, which also mean I'd have to downsize the venue, could lose a lot of money. What do I do?
Wow.
It is a pickle that I'm sure a lot of brides are actually dealing with right now.
13 10 60, Jess wants our advice, everyone. So if you've got some words of advice, give us a call.
Mm.
Sonia's here. Morning, Sonia. What should Jess do in this situation?
Compromise on both sides. If the actual ceremony is in a park, then reduce that to 20 and others can view from a distance, and then keep the reception as it is so the sister's still at the ceremony and maybe attend the ceremony via Skype or FaceTime.
So sister attends ceremony but not reception.
Yeah. Best of
so that you
worlds.
Can still keep the party at 120 people.
Is that fair on the 100 people? That they have to view their loved ones, ceremony from a distance with binoculars or whatever. Like, is that fair on them?
I've had to do it with my family.
Okay.
Oof. It is a toughie because the ceremony is the most beautiful part.
But it's a compromise. It's a compromise.
I'm not compromising on my wedding.
That's a big compromise from
my wedding
the bride.
Is not going to be a compromise. No. It's mine.
Jenna's here. Jenna, what should Jess do?
She needs to stand by her sister.
Ooh,
really?
In this current time, you need to stand by.
Hold on, but couldn't we reverse that, Jenna, and say her sister needs to stand by her?
Well, you could, but in this time, if she's not, obviously she's not comfortable getting the vaccine, there's reasons why she can't have it. Might be health reasons, anything. So what, she jeopardises her health just for her?
There might not be reasons too. Some people are anti-vax because they're real informed.
Well, that could be the case too, but don't you think she's seen her sister get vaccinated? You know, she's seen all of that, but she's making her own choice. For a wedding, you're going to, jeopardise your morals, your all these things just for a wedding?
Yes.
Just for a wedding?
Yes.
I don't know, man.
I don't think you're jeopardising morals, but I think, uninviting 100 people is a huge thing because there'd be family involved in that 100 people as well.
Yeah.
Like, it's right. Not just friends.
We've got some people who are fuming, I think, with the opposite sort of opinion.
Yeah.
Brianna is here next. Brianna, good morning.
Hey, how are you?
Good, mate. What's your advice for Jess?
Well, the sister suck it up and hurry up and get her vaccine done, because why would you, if you're your best friends and sisters, make your own sister sacrifice 100 friends and family?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing. If she chooses not to get the vaccine, she should step aside and not have to, not make Jess
that's
make
exactly
that decision. Like,
do.
She should make the decision.
Yeah. Honestly, at the end of the day, you're like, if it was me and I was the one holding up my sisters and potentially going to make her sacrifice 100 people, I would honestly be like, hey, at the end of the day, it's her day.
Exactly.
You only get married, hopefully, once in life. So
I agree. And what you said so right there, Gabby, at the moment, Jess's sister has put it all on her.
Yeah, which is unfair.
Where Jess's sister needs to step up and go, either I'm going to do it or I'm not going to do it.
And so, I won't come to your wedding.
Yeah, and I won't come to your wedding. Mm. Yeah, it's over to her. Sue's next. Mm. Sue, what's your advice for Jess? She's certainly in a bit of a pickle.
Oh, I think Jess should turn around and tell the sister that she needs to grow up.
Yeah.
Because she accepted being her maid of honour, which means you've got to go do what the bride wants.
And I'm so going to pull that hay. It's my day, you do what I want.
Yeah, that's right. And if it was a destination wedding in Bora Bora, I bet you she'd be lining up to get jabbed.
Yeah, true.
You're right.
That's so true.
Yes.
If she's having her way paid to Bora Bora.
Yeah.
We know where Gabby's hens night's going to be. Hey, the Vax Clinic. Everyone,
everyone get in. Get it done.
Light up.
The 100 with Andy Lee is happening tonight. It's a bit of a Christmas special. We're going to find out what Australia thinks about this wonderful time of the year. And he joins us right now. How are you, Andy?
Yeah, good. I think the revelation was that some people don't think it's that wonderful a time of the year. That's what we found out tonight on the 100.
What percentage?
Well, it's a funny one. We there's people that hate Christmas, but there's also different permutations. I asked the question, you know, how many people are going to spend time with someone they hate this Christmas season? And that was quite high.
That would be very high.
Arnie Merle asking when you're going to have a baby.
Yeah. Old racist Uncle John.
And then a lady just decided to say who it was and just burnt her brother-in-law live on the 100. And I said, you realise this will go out? She said, he already knows.
It's not a secret, Andy. Don't worry about that. I want to ask more about the 100 Christmas special very soon. Really quickly, though, you and your partner, Beck, this is your first Christmas with Henrietta, the little puppy that you guys got earlier on in the year. Are you guys... Yep. Is that
Henry? Henry in the background.
That was going to say, that's Henry in the background.
Wow, what
right
great timing.
Now. Good timing, Henry.
Yeah. Her ears pricked up. She knew that you were talking about it.
Right.
She's got her little toy in her mouth, Drawley Andrews.
Are you guys like the type of, you know, fur parents that do the Christmas dress up? Like, can we expect to see Henrietta as a little elf or a little Santa or something?
Well,
like?
Look, Cliff, am I the type to do that? No. I mean, I don't even do Halloween. Is Beth the type?
Yep.
And then when it comes around, that time of year, you'll realise who actually calls all the shots in our house.
It's funny you say that, Andy, because we do a Christmas photo with our dog every year, and I make me and my partner and the dog all dress in matching Lowe's Hawaiian Christmas shirts.
Right.
Would you ever agree to that? Because my partner hates it, but he does it.
Oh, yeah, look, I'll agree to that stuff. Anything to keep the peace this time of year, particularly if I don't have to go out and get anything. Henry, shush. I'm going to have to take Drawley Andrews off her. she's following me around. Anything really. If it doesn't require that much effort, I'm in. But if I have to go pick up the shirts or something like that, now I'll draw the line.
All right, that's an interesting place to draw the line, but I love it.
Can we ask you quickly, what's your favourite Christmas carol? Because on Saturday we're doing a Christmas tree Saturday setup show where we're going to set up our Christmas trees with our listeners all at the same
time. Christmas song or Christmas carol?
Ooh, song.
You pick your fave. Yeah, I'm easy.
Well, we actually do the list of most popular songs tonight on the show. So at work Christmas parties, there's no surprises to who came first.
Mariah Carey.
Yeah, of course.
Yes, Mariah Carey. And then the list gets interesting from then on in. I'm a Jingle Bell Rock guy. Mm. Hall & Oates, I think that is. Yeah. But didn't even make the top five, which is very disappointing.
Have you ever made a fool of yourself at a work Christmas party?
Hamish and I wore Santa morph suits to one of the radio station Christmas parties, and it was only when we realised that you have to go to the toilet and those things. It was very, very difficult.
Oh, you'd
so
be
that's like the body stocking in Lycra.
You'd be like a bride on her wedding day.
You've got to help each other.
Friend, or your bridesmaids trying to get you out.
We both went to the toilet together. People thought we were doing other things.
Yeah, it's a great day. Went at the Christmas party. All right, The 100 with Andy Lee, the Christmas special. It airs tonight, 8:30 on Channel 9 and 9 Now. Andy Lee, Merry Christmas, mate. Thank you.
And you guys, take care.
The video's gone a little viral of closing time in a nightclub in Glasgow, Cliffo, where an employee is walking around wearing gloves, picking up all of the discarded things that people have left behind after a night out. So, you know, like picking up a phone charger, a bunch of different passports, playing cards, cracked iPhones, all of the things you'd expect. And so we've actually found a list of all of the weirdest and wonderfulest things that have actually been found in nightclubs around the world.
Oh, I can't even. Imagine. This does take me back to my party days too. Because
what
little,
did you lose?
Well, no, I didn't lose anything. But the night, there was like one club and it was above the RSL in the little town I grew up at. And you know it was closing time because the DJ every single time, and I heard it many a time, the last song he would play every night was Kenny Rogers, The Gambler.
Oh. You got to know when to hold.
So, this so you know to collect all your things.
Yeah, this was the sign that the night was over. And then the ugly lights would come on.
Yes.
And that's where you would see, like you say, you know, all the discarded things. Handbags and rubbish.
Well,
and
I never lost anything that I can remember, but I did gain something. I must have found a lipstick at one point.
Yeah,
because
but
a few days later,
that, you know, the doctor was able to sort that out.
No, a few days later, I was using this lipstick, and I'm like, "Hold on, that's not mine.
That's not my
How
lipstick.
Gross is that? It was so feral." But other things that have been found in nightclubs, we're going to play a bit of true or false here. So you're gonna, you're gonna go true or false.
So was this found in a nightclub or not?
A glass eyeball.
Oh yeah,
it
totally.
Was.
Yeah, because. Yeah. Someone's
someone's been playing pranks.
Playing pranks.
Party
and putting
tricks.
It in with the ice.
And then forgot to put
Ooh,
it back
what's
in their
in that
skull.
Ice? Yeah, that's right.
That's an expensive left behind. Bagpipes?
No. No, I wouldn't.
No, you're right. Yet. False. Because there's
you,
no way you would have got
them
in. Them
in?
No.
Yeah.
No one wants them in a nightclub.
Old mate from that Akadaka song that has the bagpipes randomly start in the middle.
A corset.
A corset.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That
definitely.
Would have been found, yeah.
Yeah. It was found stuck down the women's toilet. And I understand, like, they're very uncomfortable. I can understand someone just taking it off and discarding
but drop
it halfway
on the
through the night.
You don't need to flush it.
You're right. A monocle.
You know what? I'm going to go with yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Maybe it was belonging to the glass eye guy. Who knows?
The Monopoly man was randomly partying.
A stick-on moustache.
Oh, you'd think you'd find one or two of those after a dress-up or something.
It says false on here, but I think only because it doesn't fit into the craziest things found. Like, that would be pretty common.
You would think so.
You'd think
yeah.
so.
I'm gonna give me that point.
Yeah, all right. And finally, a 20th year anniversary Tamagotchi.
I'm going to say no. That's a bit too detailed.
It's 100% true. It was producer Brooks, and it was never to be found again.
That was Cliffo and Gabby's podcast.
Looking for your morning coffee hit without the heat? Grab a McCafe iced coffee. It's perfect for warm Queensland mornings.